Chapter 28. The attack. They've discovered us, exclaimed Jack, as he stood up and watched the Martian. What? Cried Mr. Rauman. Added, and he hasn't any of those electrical sticks. Go ahead and take some more of the cardite. But the Martian advanced on the travelers, and, by his voice and gestures, seemed to be warning them to stop taking the red material. Maybe he's a guard, suggested Mark. Very likely, assented Professor Henderson. I'll see if I can't scare him with my gun, remarked Andy. I've put in more powder, and a heavier bullet. He fired in the air, over the Martian's head, but to the surprise of the adventurers the weapon only gave a faint sound, like that of a pop gun, while the bullet rolled from the barrel and dropped at Andy's feet. Why, that's worse than ever! He exclaimed. Stuff must have taken all the power out of your gun, Andy, said Mark. The Martian stood still for a moment. Then he spoke again, more earnestly than before, and waved the strangers away from the Red Hill. We're not going, said Mr. Rauman, and he added a few of the Martian words he had learned, endeavoring to state that they were going to take only a little of the cardite. The officer, with a last warning shake of his big head, suddenly turned and ran away. I guess he's gone for reinforcements, said Jack. No matter, spoke Mr. Rauman. We'll soon have all we can carry, and then we'll hurry back to the projectile. When we get there we can defy them. They continued to fill the boxes with the cardite, and soon had a good supply. Then, taking a look to see if the Martian had summoned any guards, but finding that none was in sight, the adventurers made their way back to their boat and set it in motion. How are we going to escape the whirlpool? Asked Mark. I think if we skirt down the shores of the lake for some distance, and then strike across to the city, we'll avoid it, replied Professor Henderson. The pool is not very large, and seems to be only directly in front of the Red Hill. This they found to be the case, and they were soon safely beyond the swirling waters, and on their way back to Martopolis. We had better not land at a public dock, suggested Professor Henderson. Why not? Asked the German. Because the Martians may see that we have some of the cardite, and take it from us. What would you suggest? Why, there is a landing place farther down, and we might go there and make our way from it to the projectile unobserved. This was voted a good plan, and was successfully carried out. Though quite a few Martians saw the adventurers land, they evinced no curiosity in what they carried, and that evening the little party was back in the Annihilator, where they determined to stay all night. Mr. Rauman tested some of the red matter, and found, when he applied the proper electrical treatment, that it gave off light, heat or power, according to the adjustments. This is the most wonderful material in the world, he exclaimed. Yes, or in the whole universe. It is better than perpetual motion, for it is not only that, but perpetual light and heat. I believe I can use it in the Ethereum motor in place of the force I ordinarily employ. He made some experiments, and found that this could be done. I wonder what's become of the crazy machinist, asked Jack. Oh, maybe he's made friends with the Martians, said Mark, and has told them he's a king, or something like that, and they're treating him with royal honors. More likely he's plotting mischief, declared old Andy. I wish my gun was in working order. Somehow I don't like the way that fellow acted on the Red Hill. Why, you're not afraid, are you? Asked Professor Henderson. No, not exactly, but I was just thinking how we could defend ourselves in case they attacked us. My gun is no good. You forget that we have electrical cannons, said Jack. That's so, added Mr. Henderson. And it might not be a bad plan to get them in working order. Nonsense! Exclaimed the German scientist. Never bother us. They are thinking too much about the stars, the sun, moons and other planets. They are too intent on studying to bother us. That is all they do. Study. Ears, eyes, nose and mouth so big. They use them to listen to scientific sounds, to look at scientific objects, smell scientific odors, and talk of scientific things. They'll never bother us. Maybe not, but perhaps the crazy machinist will, suggested Mark. I'll make some inquiries tomorrow, and see if the Martians know anything of him, promised Mr. Henderson. But if the Martians knew anything of the insane man, they would not tell. When the adventurers made cautious inquiries on the morrow, they were only met with vacant stares from the big eyes. The boys and their friends made several excursions about Martopolis in the next week, and even traveled in the big sleds to distant cities, which they found much the same as the one they were in. They saw no signs of the crazy machinist, and began to believe that he had disappeared for good. They were making progress in the Martian language, and could converse with the people. No longer did the Martians cause the travelers to move about by the thought force, and our friends were allowed to go here and there as they pleased. They found traveling exceedingly easy, as their bodies were so light. They had again taken up their residence in the house in the city, paying occasional visits to the projectile, which remained on the soft sand where it had landed, but tilted upward, ready for a flight. One afternoon Jack and Mark, who had been out taking a walk, came back rather hurriedly. They found Professor Henderson and Mr. Rauman doing some scientific work, while Washington and Andy were discussing the many strange things on Mars. Professor, said Jack, I think something is up. What do you mean? Well, there's something unusual going on. The Martians are acting very queerly. There's a big meeting in the Glass Palace, and when we tried to go in we were stopped. Crowds in the street kept following us, and they haven't done that since we first landed. Yes, added Mark, and I think I saw that same man who watched us taking the cardite with a lot of other officers, following us, too. And, besides, no persons here seem as friendly as they used to. Did they, Jack? No, indeed. I think they have discovered that we have taken some of the red stuff, and they don't like it. Professor Henderson and Mr. Rauman looked grave. If this was the case, it might mean serious trouble for them all. But they're along, while finding out that we took the stuff, said Andy, who listened intently to what the boy said. Maybe they knew it all the while, suggested Jack. But they are so interested in scientific matters that they didn't want to take any action on it until now. Well, remarked Mr. Rauman, whatever it is, I think we will be safer in the projectile. Come, we will all go out there and spend the night. We can defend ourselves in case anything happens, though I don't believe it will. They started at once, and there was a feeling of security when they had clamped fast the great steel doors in the side of the Annihilator. Contrary to their fears, the night passed without incident. They were all at breakfast the next morning, when Mark, happening to look through a heavy plate glass window in the living room, called out, "Look what's coming!" They saw a vast throng of Martians advancing toward the projectile. "See who's leading them," called Jack. "Through space to Mars by Rockwood,